Whether you're a Class 5 rafter or just looking for a couple of laughs, these two have you covered. Welcome to Aaron and Zach's Better Than Mediocre Rafting Show.
Well, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to Aaron and Zach's Naive and Entitled Rafting Show. And I love our intro, Aaron. I haven't watched it for a while. We did a good job with that. When I say we, I mean I did a good job with that.
Yeah. Pat yourself on the back there.
Thank you.
Yes, this is well done.
This is a show we do on Fridays at 2 p.m. live, where a couple of naive and entitled guys attempt to talk about rafting. This is not an education. This is entertainment. We're not here to educate anyone. Aaron, if people want education, where should they go?
I mean, I think this is education. This is educational.
No, because you play devil's advocate. I play devil's advocate.
So would you say the Tuesday show is educational?
We answer questions. It's a Q&A show. We answer questions. So, I mean, there's information there. But if people want real education on rafting, I want to be clear.
They should sign up for your online course.
Our online course. Or they can go to Lake Tahoe Community College Raft Guide School.
Great idea.
That's an option.
Take courses, read great books. We talked about that the other day about all those great books out there.
The Complete Whitewater Rafter. This is education. Great book by Jeff Bennett. This is just fun for us. We do this on Fridays. We goof around. If you're listening to this on River Talk Podcast, people have asked us, are you smiling because you're looking at comments, Aaron?
No, I'm smiling at you, Zach. I'm just happy to be here.
Anyway, if you're listening to this on River Talk Podcast, we take the audio from the show, strip it, and put it on the podcast. For those of you that want to just hear the audio, we do not suggest doing that. Looking at our beautiful faces makes this better. We're going to share video. This is not meant to be an audio podcast. And so if you're listening on the podcast, turn it off, go to YouTube, find this. But some people want the audio version. So that's what we give you on River Talk Podcast. I want to thank everybody for being members, for subscribers, for liking. It really helps us a lot. It makes us feel cool. Thank you. And Aaron, let's start with trivia. What do you think? We try to do trivia every week. And if you answer the question or if you answer the trivia, then you win a prize. But you have to be a member. This is a way of thanking our members for being members. So members only trivia. And the trivia is, what camp is this?
Oh, I got this one.
This one's hard. This is a hard trivia question.
Not at all.
For you, but... Not many people have camped here, I don't think. So this is an advanced trivia question. And those of you that win the trivia, you can choose from winning this cool coffee mug, Northwest Rafting Company coffee mug, or Tim Palmer's Rivers of Oregon book. And as a hint, this camp, this river, is in this book. So that's a hint. Or you can also win this little thing we're going to talk about in a little bit. We'll get to this in a little bit.
It's a little thing. Cool.
You don't know what it is yet, Aaron, but it'll be in the trivia.
How many rivers are in Tim Palmer's book?
A lot. I don't think it's numbered. I mean, this isn't a river guide as much as it's just like... I mean, Tim Palmer doesn't write really guides to rivers much. He just talks about rivers. I mean, there's probably like 50. He talks about the whole drainage, not just the part you want to raft or kayak. Or rivers you would never raft or kayak.
So, no guesses so far on that.
It's hard. That's why there's no guesses. It's hard. So we may not have anybody, but I want to.
I wonder how many people actually. It's rare that camp gets camped at. Yeah. It's not an easy carry to that camp.
Oh, you're giving away too many hints.
Well, it's not an easy carry to that camp. I'll just say that. So it doesn't get used that often. So I think it's hard. It's like you probably haven't camped there.
Well, that's the thing. Thanks, M. Silva. Yeah, a lot of our questions people can just Google and get the answer. And I thought that was not really fair to people, you know, because I want to make it hard. On the Rogue, wrong. Nice. Thanks for guessing. Courtney knows. I've camped with Courtney there before, so she knows it.
Zach, talk about giving it away.
I mean, they're still not going to give it away. They might. I mean, nobody even has mentioned the river yet, much less the camp.
Oh, they got to name the campsite too. That's true.
Name the camp.
Not name the river. Name the campsite.
I think that's a tough one.
So you just let them let them remove all of the rogue campsites from the equation right there.
Right there. Yep. Yeah. It's not the rogue. It looks like the rogue though, kind of. So let's get started, Aaron. I got a few things to cover.
Before we start, we're talking about briefly, like we talked about Jim, we're just talking about Jim Faust before the episode started. Not sure, maybe you guys know Jim Faust, but Jim Faust used to own Sunshine Rafting. He mainly ran on the stand, right? He ran on the Stanislaus. I think he ran the Goodwin Canyon. And then before that, in the late 80s, early 90s, when New Malones got low, they were running trips up there consistently too, up on the Camp Nine run.
Yeah.
Which everyone I talked to ran even back then said it was a hoot. But he passed away, I think September 8th, I want to say. And so I think they're going to do something for him down in Goodwin Canyon coming up here sometime soon. But you worked for him, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember, he was known to be a little bit cowboy. And if I remember correctly, I remember you coming back up to the Tuolumne talking about how you got to drive the bus with the guests in it. Was that right?
Yeah, yeah.
You just hey, can I try driving? He's like, sure.
I can tell a lot of Jim Faust stories now that he can't get sued or in trouble for him.
Yeah, he's gone.
But he's a great guy. You know, because when I started the Tuolumne, you couldn't have enough days to get a whole season. Yeah. You know, we were doing like two days a week maybe. And so, like, no Tuolumne guide could make it. Right now, you're just lapping day trips and making, you know, getting tons of work. But back then, you'd have to find almost a second job to work the tee. And I would go down and work for Jim on the Goodwin Canyon section of the Stanislaus. This is a really dangerous section of river. But it was work. And he would – the trips I worked would be German tourists on these little bus rides, and they get dropped off, and they didn't speak English. And so you would – give the city talk to the guide, who then give it to the tourists. And then I'm pretty sure they just paid him cash under the table. And then I just got paid cash, right, at the end of the day. So I think it was like a kind of a like behind the scenes thing happening. And it's not, I would not recommend commercially doing this section to anyone. There's, you know, like two portages, like several places people have died. There's a rapid called Air Mattress because somebody ran in an air mattress and died. It's not the safest section, but he let me do anything. And so he had this really cool bus painted like I think it was rainbow colored. And I'm like, oh, I want to drive that thing. He's like, cool, drive it. He let me drive it to put in, take out. I had no business driving a bus. I'm actually a good driver.
Yeah, but you're just some random like 20-something-year-old kid who's like never driven a bus. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, whatever, man. Yeah, go for it. Do it.
But
yeah.
That river was way more dangerous than the bus. I mean, those rapids are full on. And like not super hard. I mean, they're hard. They're class four, but like dangerous. You know, like when I think about rapids, some rapids are really difficult, but if you swim, it's not a big deal. You know, like Cherry Creek is kind of like that. As class five goes, if I'm going to swim somewhere in class five, Cherry Creek, I would want to swim. Other rivers are like class three and four, but a lot of sieves and nasty stuff where you wouldn't want to swim. And Goodwin Canyon is somewhere you don't really want to swim. Lots of weird undercut rocks and caves. And at one point, it's called Iron Box. There's just an iron box in the river that's an entrapment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aaron? There's just like an iron box stuck in the river.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. Yeah.
So a lot of.
I actually really like that section. I've run it a lot over the years, and I think it's a really fun, cool little canyon. It is. You got to have skills to go in there, though. I'd say it's because you're going to be lining something most times. There's some mess up stuff in there. You got to be conservative. But it's
commercially, we always line Matterhorn. You have to run. So all the rapids are named after Disneyland rides, or most of them, except like Air Mattress. They're either named after Disneyland rides or somebody died, basically. And the first one was called Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Is that right?
Mr. Toad's. Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Toad's. And I mean, I don't know if I ever figured that one out. You just kind of like did the best you could and hoped you didn't flip. And so you couldn't.
No. I end up with that chompy little room of doom on the bottom right. There's certain flows. There's that just, like undercut little corner that your whole boat can go in.
You just avoid that. Your whole goal is to avoid that. We should find some video of it. And then Matterhorn, you would line every time. And then Haunted House was like some flows you ran it. Sometimes you portaged it. But Haunted Houses, I've swam that. I had a really bad swim there once.
But everyone's had bad swims at Haunted House. You work that river, you have bad swims at Haunted House. It doesn't look that bad, but the swims are awful.
We did video review of this once. I mean, this is a video review show. Should I bring up some video? See if I can find some video of. Oh, here we go. Carnage or Haunted House. I think we did video review of this section once. Help me find this. I mean, I just videoed this, or I just Googled it really quick. That's the rapid. It's just so unpredictable when you go in there.
Oh, that's a mean, mean feature. And then below it, downstream on the left, there's like a nasty feature there that's not that big, but it's retentive.
It's an unpleasant place to be swimming. Let me make this bigger. And so all the safety they have. Oh, kayak carnage. I'm used to seeing raft carnage. I think were you with me the first time we ran this, Aaron? I was kayaking and a few people were like, Dan and Faye were rafting.
No, I wasn't.
But anyway, kayaked, did fine. Then walked back up and got the raft and we flipped and took a really nasty swim. Hmm. Looks good so far. Oh!
Oh, what are you doing? What was your plan there? Ow.
Oh, man. Ouch. That hurts. Let's see. What else do we got for... Here's Goodwin Canyon video. This looks like... Is this all outdoors? It looks produced. Yeah, this is where you launch in this overgrown section.
That's early spring or late in the fall. Yeah.
And this is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. It's just kind of chunky.
Oh, God, yeah. It's mean.
You just kind of enter and it's chunky. And you got to avoid that. Your goal is to avoid that wall there on the right. Let's see how they do. You know, a guide died here. At least one. There's that wall. Boom. Yeah, they did it fine.
It's nice to have a light boat.
Yeah. Did a lot of six loads. I did a trip here once where it was a six load of people and a 12-footer, a big guy's, and the floor was underwater. This is working for Jim. Like the raft floor was covered in water. The boat was so heavy. Yeah, I don't think this doesn't look fun to me for some reason.
It's actually in a kayak. It's not bad.
Here they are. They're where are they now? Why is there no people in this? Oh, this Matterhorn. Is their ghost boarding Matterhorn.
Matterhorn. Yeah.
There's definitely a line here. I don't know. It definitely goes. It's just nerve wracking. Oh, here's a kayaker doing it.
I got some photos on my site of people running Matterhorn.
I never have. Even when I did it privately. I've always been a little nervous about it. And there's just a bunch of fun rapids like this. Let's see how they do in Haunted House. Middle and lower. I don't remember any of these rapids.
There's the lining Haunted House.
Yeah, we did. I'd say we lined it 50% of the time. Some flows is good. Some flows is horrendous. Anyway, well, Jim, thanks for,
I think he got a lot of people in the water, and there's a lot of guides came through and worked for him. You know, a lot of people got to work for him. So,
yeah. You just like be like, hey, Jim, I need some work. You're like, yeah, come on Tuesday. It's pretty easy. Yeah, Trevor, I think I remember Trevor had to do that run. Well, I guess I'm going to share with you, Aaron. Remember when we were talking about Dougie's? Were you with us when we were talking about Dougie's bidet method for pooping? Weren't you on that show where we talked about Dougie wiping his butt with his hands? Or was that just me and Dougie?
He wipes his butt with his hands?
Yeah, he calls it the bidet method. So when he goes...
How's that a bidet? Isn't a bidet where you like you just squirt water on there?
He squirts water too, I think. No, he doesn't squirt water. Anyway, you weren't on the show. So anyway, we had a talk about... Leave No Trace, and I don't know whatever when I came up, and Dougie talked about how he just like doesn't use toilet paper, and then he just washes his hands really well. And I've never tried it. And then now you were here because you were the one that was like just use a rock.
Use a rock.
Yeah. You're just use a rock and throw it far away. And I was like, you can't just throw poop covered rocks. You were on that show.
Yeah, okay, I remember this now. Yeah,
okay, well, anyway, a viewer suggested we try out this product, and I bought it. And it's this little bottle cap thing. Check this out. Let me see if I can make myself bigger. It's this little thing you put on top of your bottle. They go, psh, and then it has a little slit right there, and it squirts water in your butt. Can you see this thing?
Yeah, I can. So, I mean, and is it seal and unseal?
On the water bottle, yeah. There's like two different like it can go on. Yeah, it just like pushes in your water bottle, and then
you
just
go. So you have to have, a plastic water bottle for you to use it.
Yeah.
On,
or yeah,
you can't. It doesn't work on metal water bottles because you have to squeeze the bottle.
You have to squeeze it. I mean, I haven't tested it, but there's a view on the packaging. Be green, be clean. There we go. Do you see it?
I don't. I'm a little uncomfortable with it for numerous reasons. I'm going to say you're going to put the mouth of your water bottle underneath your butthole and wash it off, and then you're going to drink out that water bottle afterwards. That's
maybe gross. Maybe this bottle is only for cleaning your butt.
Yeah, which is – that doesn't seem practical either. So,
okay, here's what it says on the side. Before using – it's called Kulo Clean. Try and squeeze the plastic bottle as hard as you can just up to before – Kulo Clean pops out. Slightly rinse your Kulo Clean to facilitate its insertion into the bottle and remove it right after use before it dries out to avoid from getting stuck. Anyway, it's called KuloClean.com.
Maybe Doug, we need Doug to try it out for us.
Doug will. I mean, I think Doug will try it out. So anyway, somebody suggested we get it and try it and promote it. I think it's kind of cool. I'm not going to, I mean, I bought two of them. Anyway, I'm not going to ever use it. I have two unused.
So you can do that on your trips then. You just have a water bottle instead of toilet paper next to the toilet.
Yeah.
And everyone can just rinse off into the toilet.
With I mean, water. The poop still ends up on the ground though.
No, they just rinse off into the toilet and you just have a bunch of water.
Oh, yeah. But let's say you're backpacking. You're still going to, I mean, you're cleaning. Yeah. The poop ends up on the ground. So I'm not sure if it follows Leave No Trace principles exactly. But anyway, these are prizes. So if somebody answers the trivia question.
You can get a poop lid.
A brand new poop lid. That's an option.
Brand new, never used.
Never used. It's come out of the box just for the demonstration.
Maybe you could have. It'd be interesting if you had one that'd been used by Dougie, and then went ahead and see which one people would request first. Which one would go first?
I'm not going to touch the one used by Dougie. Anyway, I forgot who suggested we check this out on the show. Thank you if we ever did. It's cool. It's an interesting idea.
It's an interesting concept.
This is an actual bidet versus Dougie's bidet method is a marginal
good
bidet.
Good point. Yeah.
Yep. It's an actual bidet. Okay, a few more things to talk about before we get to the meat of the show. The next, Aaron, I want to talk about our contest. Oh, I got to show you one thing. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Wow, look at that. You had a check made?
We get a giant check as the prize.
What does it say on the top of it?
It says... Immersion Research Community Bank, Community River Bank. So this is, I've always wanted to make a giant check. This is the prize for our contest, a $1,000 giant check gift certificate for Immersion Research.
So people can put it up on their wall. That's pretty cool.
No, you have to bring this to Immersion Research to get your,
to bring that to them.
Yeah, this is the actual prize.
They don't get to keep it. They don't get to put it on their wall.
I don't know. Probably not.
They could put stamp canceled on it and give it back to them or something like that.
We haven't thought that far ahead, but that's the prize for winning our contest.
I got to ask, did you make that giant check?
No. What do you think? I just sat around and made a check like that?
Did Immersion Research make the giant check?
Oh, I had it made. I didn't make it.
You had it. You know, you had it. You had it made.
Yeah. So, there's a place you go to. Just Google giant check and you'll find places that can make giant checks.
Was that shipped to you or did you have to pick it up?
They shipped it to me. I got on the internet. Look at this thing. It's awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope I can, you know, I can actually give it to somebody like physically. I don't want to ship it to somebody else. I don't think. Anyway, so I'm going to talk about our contest. I'm really excited about it. To find out the rules, to have the rules, just go to Whitewater Guidebook and then click the Gear Garage Ultimate River Runner Contest. And we haven't come up with all of the rules for the entire contest. Like, they're not all there. Just bear with us. We'll come up with the rules as they go. And please know, we might change the rules. We want to make this fun, but we also want to make this fair. And we've never done a contest of this order of magnitude and don't want to make a mistake. So we might change things a little bit just to make it better. But I think we'll keep it pretty consistent. The rules are: be safe. We don't want anybody getting hurt doing this. It's when you're doing training, it's embarrassing to get hurt. So please be safe and recognize the rules may change. We don't think they will, but they could. And the key is there's two brackets, and each bracket will have three winners. And the final six people will go to the final round. So you have to be a top three finisher in the first round to make it to the final bracket, and there'll be up to six people in it. Who knows? We may only have one person enter, and that'll be easy to make it. And for the first bracket, you can enter your video by October 16th. And both Aaron and I are going to go away for the next few weeks, so we'll get back and hopefully have entries. And there's an entry form at the bottom of this page. And if you get first place in the first bracket, I will buy you the throw bag of your choice. Within reason, let's put a $200 price limit on it. I don't want to buy like a throw bag that you shoot from a gun or something, you know, but I'll buy whatever throw bag you want up to $200 for the bag. And you essentially have to video you performing this modified IRF throw bag assessment. And we're going to judge it. And so the judging is the Howard judging is based here. Safety 10 points. Some artistic quality of the video, 10 points. So, you know, put some effort into that. I want to make sure everybody's dressed correctly. Like if we find you wearing a non-locking carabiner or your PFD's not buckled, we'll take some points off. The challenge of the locations were 20 points and the proper completion of the assessment is 50 points. And Aaron and I are going to judge separately. We're not going to, there's no way we'll agree because I might think the safety is a 10, Aaron might think it's an 8. But it's the
and I'm going to say the challenge of the location doesn't mean a stupid location that's dangerous. That's going to lose you.
Yeah. Points. Yeah. Remember, the first rule is safe. First rule is safe. And there'll be three winners of this first bracket. There'll be a second bracket. And we haven't decided what that's going to be yet. I want to make it a little bit more difficult than the first round. So the first round will be the easiest way to enter. The second bracket will be a little more difficult, I believe. And I think we'll do it by December 16th. We might push that off a little bit. And then we'll take three winners from the first bracket, three winners from the second bracket, and we'll offer a final round. And the winner of the final round gets the $1,000 immersion research gift certificate. This thing. Enough to probably buy a dry suit. That's probably pretty close to it, getting a dry suit.
That'd be sweet. Get a brand new dry suit. Ooh, yeah. That'd be nice.
And, you know, you could, I mean, this is a couple hours of your time to put this video together. I mean, you could take longer, you could do it shorter. I mean, honestly, you could go out with an iPhone and your buddies while you're paddling, pull over, bust this out and throw your iPhone video up and call it good and win the first round. And the entry form's right here. Please do not email Aaron. He's going to be gone for a while. We'll use the fancy entry form we created. And yeah, that's it. What do you think, Aaron?
Looks great, Zach.
Good. Oh, wow. You're positive about it. I was ready to be negative about it.
No, I'm excited that you didn't mention my email address. We're putting it up there and tell people not to send stuff to it. It really confuses everyone. You're finally getting this figured out. So
yep.
Heidi's got a couple of questions over there that might be.
If any of the six finalists cannot compete in the third round, will you designate runners up? I'm not sure what that means. Oh, wait.
I think we'll play by ear, Heidi, and see what happens. It depends how good the entrants were.
What do you mean runners up? Designate runners up. I'm not sure what that means, Aaron.
You know, like.
If you win the first, let me try to phrase this. If you win the first bracket, you are invited to enter the final round. If you can't make it, you can't make it. That's a bummer. But you're invited to enter the thing. Is she asking, like, if three people make it to the final round and one of them can't make it, do I pull the fourth place into the thing?
I guess so.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
No runners up. You got to be in the top three. I'm looking for excellence here. Also, getting full-time working people to participate in these challenges requires as much advance notice as possible. Looking forward to further details as soon as they have figured out. I read that really fast. I mean, we're doing our best, Heidi.
And like Zach said, we're going to be figuring out as we go, so it's not going to be perfect because it's the first time. So except, like, this is a mediocre show, and I'm going to say this is a mediocre contest.
A mediocre contest with a not mediocre prize.
I know, exactly. Mediocre contest with a very nice prize. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I would say, I mean, our goal here really is to encourage people to train. That's our goal. I think this is fun for us. Hopefully it's fun for those of you entering. Hopefully it's going to be fun for Aaron and I. And hopefully it just encourages people to train and create more discussions about river running and safety. So I'm going to do our best to run a great contest here, but we might make mistakes and go with the flow. And we'll do our best to make it fair for everybody. And we'll get details out as fast as we can. Any questions, Aaron? Does it all make sense?
Let's roll.
Cool. All right. Next thing on the docket is I had one more thing to talk about, Aaron, but I forgot what I was going to talk about. So do you want to do some video review?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Well, I think you're going to either like this or you're going to hate it. It's not wind footage. It's sweep up footage. So I ran the sweep last week. And I shot some footage going backwards and thought I would – hold on. Heidi has a question. Don't see a spot to submit a video. Oh, yeah. We can't accept the video. You're going to have to, like, upload it to Google Drive or something, Vimeo or something, YouTube.
And send a link, yeah.
And send a link. It doesn't have to be secret. And so you don't have to, like, hide it from the world. But we can't – we're not set up to accept the video through our thing.
That'd be messy. Yeah.
So I got some sweep boat footage for you, Aaron. What do you think?
I like your socks.
You like that I'm wearing socks?
Those are nice socks. Are those calf high socks? Those look good. I love calf high socks. I'm a big fan.
Calf high socks?
You know, the socks you pull up your calf, like when we were kids, remember those? They kind of gone outside. Everyone likes the low ankle ones. I like the ones that go up your calf farther.
Yeah, they go to the bottom of my calf. Isn't this what everybody wears?
No, a lot of people just wear those little ones that go up to your ankle. Anyways, I like your socks. That's what I have to say about it.
Wait, do men wear the ones that go up to their ankles?
Oh, yeah.
Really? I thought men are supposed to wear socks like this.
I'm going to say I can't find socks like that here in Hawaii. I had to go to the mainland to buy socks like that.
Wait, so everybody, do you even wear socks in Hawaii?
People do, but it's not that common.
Okay. But like, can you find socks to go to your ankles?
Not the higher ones. Like, I definitely stand out with my socks. I'm definitely unique out here.
Well, if you want me to ship you some socks, I'll ship you some socks.
Yeah, I'm good. But thank you. I got a whole pack last time I went back and brought them back with me. Right. This is cool, Zach. Yeah, this is nice footage. What are we watching for your technique?
I just thought I'd share a video.
Okay.
That's all I got for today's sweep boat video.
We're going to watch this for an hour and a half longer of Zach rowing sweep boat?
Well, no, there's only about 10 minutes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, there's only about 10 minutes.
Do we have any other topics for today, or is that it?
No. Do you have topics? I thought I have one more thing, but I forgot what it was. Yeah, I think I'm just going to bore you with sweep boat footage now. Do you know who that is in the back of the boat?
I'm guessing Kevin.
It's not Kevin.
Dan?
Nope.
Is it your wife?
Nope.
Who is it?
Lori Lewis.
Oh, yeah. I can totally see that now that you say that. Yeah.
I let her come on a sweep with me for a day.
That's so hard that to last judge size. It's hard to judge size from.
Yeah, that far back?
Yeah.
This is Earthquake Rock. At the beginning, some people call it the first Jack Creek Rapid.
It is really a pretty section of river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the best river trip in the world, Aaron. Mm-hmm. And then did you know that the river has been brown all summer?
Since the slides?
Yeah, there was a slide. We were on the river last week. There was another – the rivers slid last week too. So if you look back – so like go back to this.
It looked clearer the other day. Yeah,
that's clear. That's our day three. And this is the next day.
Oh, wow.
So it was dark chocolate milk this day.
Was that because another rainstorm? Why did it get muddy again?
Yeah, it rained. And then those same places that slid on the Middle Fork slid again. And so more sediment came down. It was very, it looks just brown there, but it was like really viscous, thick brown. Tin Man, I think, helped push that beast in the water a few weeks ago. Was it ours, Tin Man, or somebody else's? And there's basically two or three of these a day at Indian Creek. So it might have been ours, might have been this one, might have been a different one. Do you notice my solar panel there, Aaron?
Wow, look at that. What are you charging?
I'm charging a battery, which I can use to charge my GoPros.
Does that solar panel actually charge that much? Because I found a lot of the solar panels don't actually do that much good. You're better off just getting a better battery and bringing in battery with you more.
I'm practicing for the Grand Canyon because I need to get lots of footage for the show in the Grand Canyon. So I have to charge the GoPros a lot. So I thought I'd get this. And I got a big battery, but it's not big enough for the Grand Canyon. So I got this to fill it.
Are you running pins and clips, or are you going to run locks down there?
On the canyon? Mm-hmm. What have they given me? I'm guessing locks.
You should run pins and clips.
just for the show?
Well, I know guys down there that run pins and clips anyways, but yeah, you should just run pins and clips just to be cool. Be like, yeah, dude, you can do this in pins and clips. You don't
We're
need
doing
locks.
With Pro. Do you think I can request it?
I don't know. I bet they do have pins and clips.
I know almost nothing about this trip. I mean,
they probably give you rights, but
I don't think I want rights. I'll take whatever they give me, but if I can go there and request pins and clips, I'll do it.
I really wish you brought your sweep
on the Grand Canyon.
That'd be hilarious.
No, I don't think so.
And they get a little motor for it. It's too late now. You get a little motor to motor through the flat water and then pull the motor up and then row the rapids with your sweep.
That'd be fun. Somebody has run a sweep down the Grand Canyon. It hasn't been done.
Well, back in the day with Betsy Hyde and Betsy and Glenn Hyde, that's what they were running was a sweep when the honeymoon couple that disappeared back in the
I heard that the story
30s or 40s or whatever it was. Yeah. Yeah, they were running a sweep.
It was the 30s or 40s?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Yeah.
Hey, watch Kevin here. Hold on. So I got Kevin on now. This is Kev Cakes.
It's probably the 30s.
See how he's putting his hand out?
Yeah.
This comes up later. Because if you let go of that sweep arm, see, it's going to just knock him out of the boat. So he's just sitting there ready to grab the sweep. And then if I do let go of it, he can send it back to me. He's a great swamper.
Where's the safest place to sit?
See that cooler right in front of me?
Yeah.
That's pretty safe because the sweep arms can't reach you. Or on the very, very bow, because the front sweep can't – if it spins sideways, it can't get you. Or where Kevin's sitting – because you can see it coming and just have it knock you out of the boat. So if he got hit with the sweep arm, instead of like being somewhere where it just smashes you in the boat, it'll hit him off the back of the boat. This rapid is Mist Falls Rapid. Right here. Wait, got some comments.
How many guests do you think you could run? Well, this company, I remember this one company is running people on sweep boats for a bit.
Yeah, Far and Away does.
That seems like, how do you have them safely ride on the sweep boat?
I don't know. You could, some sweep boats, I'm assuming, back in the day, they ran people on sweep boats. When Jimmy Carter did the Middle Fork, he was on a sweep boat. Have you seen that photo?
No, I haven't.
Let's see if we can find it.
But then would you just sit lower so the oars would just go over your head?
I think that's what they've done. But back in the day, back in the day, people ran guests on the sweep boat.
How many guests do you think you could take on the sweep boat?
10.
Do you think you could run
with no gear?
With gear. Like how many people, like you self-support, how many people could you put on that boat and run a trip?
Not that many. Because it depends. I mean, it depends on how much gear. Weight's a factor. Yeah. You only put so many people. And wait, this is Cliffside.
No, it'd be kind of cool to run a one boat trip.
Like a one boat private. I mean,
one boat commercial.
I don't condone single boat trips, Aaron.
You're running a single boat trip right now.
No, see, Dan's behind me.
Yeah, but usually it's a single boat trip.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm not going to do it with commercial guests on the boat.
Did Dan have to work hard to keep up with you?
Yeah. It was hard. Dan's getting pretty buffed out, so he's in pretty good shape. But yeah, it's hard to keep up. He actually passed me one time, which was a terrible idea, and I caught up with. He didn't see me behind, but I caught up with him, and we entered rapid together. It was kind of a disaster.
Ooh, that doesn't sound good. Yeah. We got lots of comments here.
All right, we'll get to. I want to. Oh, here I go. I let go of a sweep. See how Kevy's ready.
Is this how you snap a sweep? Is doing stuff like this?
No, letting go of them every so often is fine. It's not a big deal. You snap a sweep by like hitting a rock straight on with a sweep blade. But you can.
Do you bring spare sweeps with you?
Yeah. There's a spare. Look, see to my left, behind me. There's a sweep blade down there. I don't know if you can see it, but there's a sweep blade down there, and there's a spare sweep arm. There are two pieces. There's one on the left and one on the right. They're hidden under all the stuff.
So you bring one total spare, basically.
Yeah. And the front is longer than the back. So if you had to use them, you have to maybe get creative to use the spare.
Have you ever had someone like snap two sweep blades? On a trip?
No. We haven't. Audrey went 8 years before she broke one. And usually they don't, like, when they break, they just kind of crack and they're still usable. And so if you broke two, one of them would get you down the river.
Okay.
Yeah. I think this is House of Rocks.
And then do you have to bail water out of them, or is it floorless?
No, ours has a floor. So there's a sump pump. There's a thing where you just go.
What's the advantage of having a floor on it? Why even have a floor? It seems like you have all this decking.
I've thought about that a little bit. I think it just keeps the boat together. If there wasn't a floor,
is the floor like on the water or is it up off the water?
It's on the water.
It's on the water.
Yeah.
And it helps displace. So it helps displace.
Yeah. I was talking to some guys about sweep boats the other day because we were talking about the J rigs, which are the basic Cadraft ones. And the donut ones, like they call these ones donut ones. And I think these ones run lower water better because they displace more water. I think the floor helps displace some water too. But if there was no floor, the tubes might want to separate a little bit more than they should. So I've wondered that before. What if you take the floor out? It would make it easier to pontoon rocks if there's no floor.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's a good question. And here's Kramer. I thought one of these rapids I'd like with a back sweep. Look at Kevin. He's ready for that. It's really fun. This will be an annual event, Aaron. Once a year, we'll watch more sweep up footage, and you can be annoyed with me and bored by it and ask the same questions.
That's good because I don't remember because we don't talk about it for
time. We do once a year. Oh, yeah. And I did a little time lapse. All right. So let's get to some of the questions. We went to Pro and had locks. Don't break the oar on day two like someone in our group did. Ooh, burn. Burn.
Luckily, I think you have to have two spares per boat.
So. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to have two spares per boat, I believe.
Sunk without a sound. So Dan brought this book up to me the other day when we were floating. I never heard of this story. My guess is that they found some secret cave and just moved in.
Oh, yeah?
You know, isn't there a bunch of caves in the Grand Canyon?
Well, was it? There are caves around there, but one of the was the Ellsworth brothers or whatever, the Cole brothers. One of the Cole brothers like moved to France not too long after that. Mm-hmm. And so one thought is that he and Betsy like hightailed it to France and they killed him. Yeah. Because, you know, strange things happen out in the wilderness, particularly back in that day. There's all sorts of stuff. But yeah, it was a little odd that he moved to France. He lived there and he's like, oh, I'm moving to France now. So, or maybe he killed both of them. I don't know. The whole thing seems a little weird, but did you read the book? It's interesting at the end.
I've never heard of this story and I've never heard of this book until last week.
The book is interesting because at the end, one of the Cole brothers, he makes like a big sweep of his own way later on. he's kind of infatuated with the stupid idea like much later, which is kind of, it's kind of weird. The whole thing was kind of weird. It's like, wait, what's going on? So, yeah, I mean, most likely they both just disappeared, but when the Cole brothers found it, they just cut the rope. The rope was like locked onto something. They didn't see what it was locked onto. They just cut the rope that was like stuck in between rocks. And then they pushed the boat down and destroyed the boat. So there was no evidence left. They like pushed it downstream into rapids and it like broke up and sunk. So like no one would know what happened. So in some ways people say, oh yeah, they were like hiding evidence or something like that. There's a lot of interesting stories with it. There's a lot of thoughts.
It makes like, why would you, there's no good reason to take a sweeper on the Grand Canyon.
No, but they were running sweeps in Idaho. They were from Idaho. And that's what they knew how to run. But that's what they knew how to use. That's what they've been using. They've been running all over Idaho. Why couldn't they run the Grand Canyon too?
And so they went to run the Grand Canyon in their sweep boat and they died.
And they made it almost to the bottom. They're downstream of Diamond Creek when they had problems.
It seems like the hard part would be the flat water.
Yeah. I think they may have, I don't know, I forget what time of year they went. I think they may have gone during higher water. I don't remember. But I mean, it seems like they made it most of the way down. So
I'll have to check out that book. Tin Man, yeah, that sweep was there morning of August 27th because we launched 28th. So yeah, thanks for your help. Thanks for pushing in the water. Appreciate that. The book was written by a couple who replicated their sweep boat trip. Oh, interesting. So somebody did the trip.
They built the sweep. Another one. Yeah.
Wow.
Brad Dimmick and his wife at the time.
I'm not a Grand Canyon expert like a lot of people are. Is this one of those books that Grand Canyon people read?
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting book. It's interesting. It's like, that's a classic one. And then there's the one about Buzz Holmstrom. You would like Buzz Holmstrom's book.
But he's the guy from Oregon.
He's the guy from Oregon who builds a boat. He lives in the Coos Bay or something like that. Builds a boat, runs the rogue, builds another boat, runs the rogue, builds a boat, goes out to the salmon, runs the salmon. And then goes and runs the Grand Canyon.
I have his book. I started reading it. It's really depressing. Like life.
Don't read the end. Don't read the end.
No, the beginning's depressing. Describes what life is like in whatever the 1920s in Southern Oregon. It doesn't sound fun.
He was having a good time. He was going boating. He's getting out there.
I was reading and he never went boating. It's just about him and his family and growing up. And I'm like, this just isn't sound
appealing. Did you read the part about where he gets to go pet drunk deer?
No, I haven't got that far.
Because of the deer, I guess there's these apples that fermented and turned into apple. And so all these deer ate these apples and got all drunk and they all passed out on this field. And so they're able to go and pet these passed out deer. Hmm. Yeah.
What I do know is that Buzz Holmstrom died on the Grand Ronde.
Yeah.
It's like a class two river. His grave is at the confluence of the Grand Ronde and the Wallawa River in Oregon. Yeah.
No, his life after the Grand Canyon thing wasn't too hot. But what's cool is like, he's the one who did it, man. He just went down there and he's the only person to run all the rapids of the Grand Canyon. No one else has ever run all the rapids of the Grand Canyon.
Is it because the dam?
Yeah.
He did it. Oh, so like the people before him had never done it. He was the first person to do it all, and nobody's been able to do it since because of the dams.
The dam filled up and backed up. Yeah, those downstream rapids below Diamond Creek. Yeah.
What's the hardest one?
Well, Lava Cliff and Separation are supposed to be two of the harder rapids on the river. Back then, though, I believe, I think Soap Creek Rapid might have been the last rapid run on the Grand Canyon, if I'm correct, which was an early rapid, but I think it changed. It's, you know, the rapids have changed since then, but yeah, he ran them, and then the next year the reservoir backed him up, and no one else got to run those. And so, yeah, people who'd run those rapids before, but no one had run those rapids and the rapids upstream. So he's the only person to run them all. It's kind of neat.
Two Navy guys who swam the canyon.
Have you read that one? That's another great one. Bill Beer, We Swam the Grand Canyon. Yeah, it's hilarious. They're Stanford students or something like that, and decide they're going to go out and swim the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. Do they have life jackets?
Yeah, they have life jackets. I mean, they kind of have like a big supply of stuff that they've like wrapped together in waterproof boxes and bags, and they'll kind of try to ride on top of it and stuff. What's really interesting is it's pre-dam. So the descriptions of the river before Glen Canyon Dam was put in. So it was all murky and just how cold it was and just how much dust and sand there was. Like, it's a way more hospitable place now than it was before Glen Canyon Dam got put in, because there's way more vegetation in the canyon. There's, you know, the sand is a coarser grain. It's not so fine, so it doesn't get blown around quite so badly. Yeah, it's pretty cool, you know. And they just like yeah, let's go do it. And they got, and then they were gonna, they got down to Phantom Ranch and they wanted to pull the plug on them. You know, they like the National Park Service wanted to say, hey, no, you can't complete it. And so these kids, their argument was pretty sharp. They're like, hey man, if you cancel us tomorrow, there's going to be 30 more people trying to be the first people to swim the Grand Canyon. And we've made it this far. You might as well let us finish. And so they let finish. And then after that, Grand Canyon had this weird rule that you're not allowed to swim in any of the rapids of the Grand Canyon. So theoretically, you couldn't let guests hop out and swim a rapid. Mm-hmm. And then they finally got an exemption for training swims to prepare people for big rapids. Huh. So they could swim rapids because of this law from back when they swim. I think it was like they did in the 1950s.
Wait, so right now, can you swim rapids?
It's really quasi, I forget the exact, I don't know.
Like if you got a Grand Canyon permit, could you use the permit and swim the river?
No, you can't. And I think but like people, Julie and was it Katie? I don't know. What's her name?
Abby?
No, not Abby. Kelly. Oh, Kelly. Who's on their paddling team, but they did a kickboard trip down there. Three of them did it. And they had to get like special permission, and there was a lot of issues even getting that to go.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a lot of, yeah, it's very regulated. So yeah, so theoretically you're not supposed to swim rapids in the Grand Canyon. That being said, I know a guy who used to at Hermit High Water have people put on two commercial vests and have them jump out at the top and swim Hermit at high water.
What do you mean people, like guests?
Guests.
I mean,
and the story was that they were just so thrilled to be alive. They were just like, oh my God. And they're just like, yeah, okay, I'm here. I made it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think two commercial vests is definitely safe. Like they're not designed to be used that way.
And it was the old ones. It was a 32 pounder. So they had like 64 pounds of flotation. Huh. Yeah. That's a long time ago.
Check this out.
Yeah, that seems a little, that looks exactly, that's your sweet boat right there, isn't it?
It's not mine. It's a sweet boat.
That's the exact same sweet boat you guys are still running today, isn't it?
It's pretty similar. Yeah, I think that one has smaller tubes, but potentially.
That is interesting.
That's Jimmy Carter right there. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That's Jimmy Carter wearing blue jeans on a sweet boat.
They're all wearing blue jeans.
That's so awesome. I'd love it.
And so are you going to do a vintage trip, start doing a vintage trip?
Where no, everyone but goes in no, no.
And wears blue jeans?
No, I forget who the super driver was. I think it's in this article somewhere. It's a pretty famous super driver. The first lady was there. It looks like his kids were there. They flew from Marine helicopter from Boise to Indian Creek. This is while he was president, by the way. Oh, Norm Booth. Yep. And they went, I think they stayed at the Middle Fork Lodge and they camped at Lower Grouse and then they went to Elk Bar and out. Isn't that cool? And there's all this really cool diary of the president that talks about, you know, where they got to, where they had lunch. They had lunch at Otter Bar and they flew from Marine helicopter from Colson Creek Meadow. That's pretty cool.
Oh, it is.
Anyway, that's a Norm Guth, no PFD, just a really cool jacket. With a president on his boat. It's a different era.
Are you required to have a PFD now? You still do that?
You have to have one with you.
You don't have to wear it.
You don't have to wear it, no. I don't think so. We see a lot of people not wearing PFDs in the Middle Fork, so I'm assuming you don't have to. It's not like the Grand Canyon, it's required, right? You have to wear it. You have to have one to wear it.
Yeah, I think so. And you have to have like so many extras per boat and per trip. And yeah.
Makes sense. Oh, I know what I was talking about today, Aaron. I knew I had one more topic. Helmets. Have you seen this article about helmets? I knew we were missing something.
That's right. Sorry. Yeah, let's do it.
But I have to find the article.
So I was actually talking to a guy here yesterday, and tell me that I'm wrong about this. I was talking to this guy who teaches at the school where my daughter goes, and we're talking about rafting. He's like, I'd never go rafting. Too dangerous. Get slammed into a rock. And I was like, you really don't get slammed into a rock. You know, and I was like, it's not like the coral here when you're surfing or bison, you get slammed into coral all the time. But I was like, there's kind of pillows on the front of the rocks, and because all the water kind of stops on the front of them. And I'd say like kayaking is a different story. I've definitely hit my head hard kayaking, but rafting, mm-hmm. never in a swim rafting have I hit my head hard.
Yeah, I was in a discussion with somebody the other day. They're like, you got to wear a helmet in case you fall out and hit your head in a rock. And I don't think falling out and hitting your head in a rock is as big of a factor as everybody thinks.
Yeah.
This is just a guess. This isn't science. This is just me having seen many people fall out of boats and swim rapids without helmets.
Yeah. And with helmet. Yeah. Just like, I just look at the scrapes on my helmet. All the scrapes are on top of my helmet from kayaking. I'm upside down, and I was getting like slammed into rocks when I was in my boat, still not swimming, in my boat.
Yeah. So it's not like you don't fall. I mean, maybe you do. People don't generally fall out of boats under head first into rocks.
No.
Right. That's not a mechanism. Like, oh, I'm rafting. Oh, I'm falling out, and I'm falling with my head first onto rocks. I think
most of the time, if you fall out, you're like the boat's flipping back upstream. Because there's a lot of water pushing and catching that upstream tube, and you're falling into water typically. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be a little worried about metal frames on the and oars and stuff like that hitting my head. And that would be that's the reason I like having a helmet, is I that stuff does concern me, is all the rafting stuff slamming into me and other people.
I mean, the obvious thing, T-grips and paddles.
Yep.
So T-grips and paddles are a thing. And then, just like if you're in an oar frame and either an oar hitting you in the head, or the big metal frame hitting you in the head, or even if it's like a paddle boat, I guess it's a paddle, but
paddles and other people's heads, head to head.
Now, you can get hurt falling out and hitting your head on a rock. I'm not saying it's not possible. It's just not something that I think is as common as everybody thinks when they're sitting.
I think I think this is the classic. Yep. I think you're more likely to hit your head walking around on the rocks.
Yeah.
I think that's much more common. You're probably better, like we said, leave the helmet on in camp, because you're more likely to have a head injury in camp, almost. Not totally, but I mean.
Yeah. I wish we had data. I mean, the reason we've brought up helmets a lot, if you look at the AW accident database, there's a lot of people that are dying in accidents from solo boating, cold water, drinking. Those are big factors, right? People dying from head injuries is pretty low. And people say, well, it's because everybody's wearing helmets. Not everybody's wearing helmets. Like, go out in the real world on a river, you won't see that as many people wearing helmets as you think. And so you will see a lot of people drinking. And so if I was to choose one thing, cut drinking on the river or make everybody wear helmets, I would cut drinking on the river first. Like, drinking on the river is way more dangerous and not wearing a helmet, right? What are you laughing at?
Do you drink on the river?
Oh, Aaron, come on. I have.
Do you still?
No, sometimes, rarely.
In camp.
Yeah.
That still counts.
It doesn't count.
Yes.
Because you have a clear mind the next day.
No, because in camp, you're going to get hurt. Drinking in camp. Well,
sure, yeah.
More injuries. Sure. More injuries, I feel like, happening in camp. But Aaron,
you know what I mean, though? Like, when you go out and see private trips these days, people are getting hammered on the river. It's a pretty common thing. People associate boating with drinking.
And I think that the drinking in camp is also a concern.
Not as dangerous as on the river.
You get up in the morning, you see some person who didn't even make it to their tent.
That's fine. They're not dying. They're dying on the river. Like, there are a lot of documented deaths from drinking and being on the river. Dying in camp. They're just not making their tent.
There's more documented deaths. Like Grand Canyon, there's more documented deaths of people going down to take a leak at night and falling in and drowning than of actually drowning while rafting on the river and drinking down there.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because people are actually wearing their life jackets then. So that
makes sense. Okay. Anyway, we got on a sidetrack topic.
Anyway, I think this is interesting. Yeah.
I think I'm just I'm looking at the data on how people die in rivers. I'm looking at the American Whitewater Database pretty regularly to see what's happening. And I'm going to say a lot of deaths happen because of solo boating. Are you looking at the comments again instead of talking to me?
I'm listening to you as well. I can multitask.
No, you can't. I look at you and you're just laughing. I'm like, you're not even paying attention. Anyway, people are dying again from like boating alone, cold water, flush drowning, which is just a catch-all, and alcohol in the river. That's a pretty common thing. Floating down the river is like Disneyland with no rules.
Are you not allowed to be drunk on Disneyland rides?
Are there rules in Disneyland?
Yeah, is there rules on that? Do they sell alcohol at Disneyland?
Yeah. You can be drunk in Disneyland. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, if you're super hungover, that's just bad as being drunk. Is it?
Super hungover, I'd say you're not very useful.
Yeah, but you're not making bad judgment. I mean, when you're drunk, you lose judgment. If you're hungover, I mean,
I'm going to say this. When I started guiding, this was pretty early on, I was working trips on the Merced, and I noticed if I had two beers, and I'm a little bit of a lightweight, I'll say, and I wasn't getting drunk, but the next day my lines wouldn't be as tight. I noticed that. Okay. I definitely noticed the difference in terms.
Yeah. Okay. If you're a little hungover, your lines will not be as good, but they won't be as bad as if you're actually drunk.
Well, he's talking really, really
hungover.
Super hungover. I was just talking about having two beers.
I mean, you can't define super hungover. I mean, I would choose super hungover over super drunk, but I like a little drunk versus super hungover. Maybe it's the same. I don't know. We're getting into the weeds here.
Yeah, we're definitely deep.
But I would rather choose super hungover over super drunk.
Wow. I can't believe you're recommending people be super hungover on the river boating.
I'm not. I'm just saying I'm saying do neither, but super drunk is bad. Anyway, let's move on. This is going on a weird path. Okay, let's look at the Whitewater or helmet ratings. And it sounds like this is scientific from what like somebody did some science. I read some of the notes and the technical documents and like they did actual science. It was pretty interesting. We're not going to verify their science, but technical documents, they actually like pounded. I mean, this looks like a real machine to test helmets. This isn't just some like grad students, you know, in a room. This looks pretty legit to me. So I'm going to trust these ratings, but I also, I don't know anything. I don't know how to verify that this is actually good. And let's look at the helmets. So, Aaron, have you ever had a sweet helmet?
I bought one for Lindsay.
Why'd you buy one for Lindsay?
Oh, it seemed like the best option in like at the time. It seemed like the best helmet I could find. And I could get it at a reasonable price too. I was able to get it online at a reasonable price. So,
yeah. I mean, I think
I got the basic one. I wish it had more ear protection, but it, you know, like I think I got one of the Wanderer ones. I don't know the difference between
the Wanderer 2. Looking at the Wanderer ones are the best.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, number one and number two. The Wanderer 1 and Wanderer 2 are number one and number two.
They're better than the Rocker?
Yeah, that surprised me. And the Wanderer to me just seems like the cheap, simple option.
Yeah.
You can see they're $150, $130.
Yeah.
And the Rocker, which I would assume is better, costs twice as much but isn't quite as good.
And they say why isn't it quite as good?
Do we know? Well, just the scores. I don't know. They hit the head. You saw that video, right? Where they hit him in the head with that thing, and they measured like how much concussive force there is, and there's the least amount of force passed on with these Wanderers. And then they sweep.
You know what? I wonder if without the ear thing, if your air gets trapped in there more, then you get more concussed. I wonder if it's something to do with that. You know what I mean? Because they don't have the ear thing there, and so the air can move out of the helmet more. Maybe. And it maybe has less pressure. I don't know. I'm throwing spitball in here, but it's interesting. Isn't that the main difference between the two? Is the little earpiece things?
I guess. I mean, they're pretty similar. I always thought the Rocker was better because it cost more. And it does really well. I mean, really well compared to the rest of the helmets and the whole thing. So I was just as surprised to see the Wanderer do better. The Rockers look cooler. And so, I don't know. They look cool. And it's interesting, the Dagger edition does slightly better than the regular Rocker. And I didn't know there's
a difference. I wonder how much better. Is it actually better, or are they pretty much the same?
I mean,
are there any ties?
There's not ties, I know.
Is a difference statistically significant?
Yeah, those are good questions, scientists. But the scores are all like, you know, 0.25, 0.33, 0.36, 0.56, 0.83. These are all 5-star helmets, right?
I would also be curious if they took like 20 of one type of the Sweet Helmet and looked at the variation between helmets.
I'm guessing they just took one of each helmet.
Yeah,
and did one bounce and said, hey, that one did pretty well. So it's not, I'm not sure. Is this actual science? If you click
down, just pulling one helmet is you don't have enough data.
Well, we don't, I mean, I clicked on the test protocol here. The Whitewater Star methodology. I'm reading it right now, real quick. I don't know. I don't have time to read this whole thing. This document details the protocol used to rate Whitewater helmets based on concussion risk according to the Virginia Tech helmet ratings. And the protocol. Whoa. There's a whole article on how they do it. Wow. There's some crazy equations. Hold on. I'm going to pull this thing up.
Yeah, I just usually they'll tell you like how statistically significant is the difference, but
so here, do you see this? I don't think they're saying how many helmets.
They need to test multiple helmets to have a good data because the various.
Two samples per helmet model were tested at 6 different impact configurations. So 2 each.
And what was the variance? I would be curious about the variance between the two helmets.
You're such a nerd. Look at how they hit them.
Well, you have to remember, my wife did. She worked with statistics for a long time with her work, and she talked about like a lot of this stuff. The data doesn't mean anything because you haven't done enough trials, and you have an outlier, and all of a sudden everyone's making these conclusions based upon information. There's not enough data to make that conclusion.
Okay. Anyway, look at there's some cool math.
That's a cool equation. Looks good.
Yep. Look at this equation. There's some really, really nice numbers in there. Oh, here we go. The star value says the number of stars. So below 1.21 is 5 stars. We'll get to that in a minute. So let's go back to this, the ratings. So I'm going to say, like, I'm with you, Aaron. I think that if they only did 2 helmets, they can't say, like, for sure that this is number one. But I would say if you're below a score of 1, that's pretty good. Like all 5 of these helmets are pretty nice. Can you agree with that?
Like, yeah, you bet.
Like there's some variance, and maybe the Wanderer isn't actually number one. It's just like, I don't know. If they tested 20 helmets, it would be number one. But these, you can say they're all 5 stars. These are all really good helmets.
What's intriguing is just based upon that, is there isn't the more expensive one isn't actually better.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Or even if it's not, let's say it's number 4, it's still going to get 5 stars probably. Like it's a good helmet. So it says it's number 1. It may actually be number 4. Whatever. These are good helmets. Any of these helmets are good. And I think that anybody who knows about helmets will agree Sweet Helmets are great helmets.
Did they test the stupid little baseball cap ones?
Yeah, they did. We'll get to that. So, and then this $100 helmet does okay. That's 4 stars. So we go from a 0.83 to a 1.49. So all of these suites are like 0.83 and below. It's a pretty decent jump up to what's next. 1.49, 1.77, 1.89. With some of these are probably the best shred ready ones. And then
it's
we get to
how the face mask ones in general score more poorly than their non-face mask counterparts.
Shred ready full face. I mean, here
the shred ready full face, and then
but here the rocker full face, the rocker full face is better than the rocker.
Yeah, I think that's because it's got that earbud pad thing that doesn't allow.
Yeah, where the shred ready full face, yeah, it looks exactly like the full cut, so it does a little worse. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. And then the Interest Chaos does pretty well for $70.
Yeah.
And it looks like the full cut is better than the side cut. That's good to know. Where it covers the ear. It looks super nerdy, though. Look at this helmet.
I'm guessing those – I'm starting to notice a pattern. Those earbuds that sit up against your ear like that and cover it with the foam, mm-hmm. I think they make the concussive force higher because it doesn't allow that air to move out. Because airflow is a key part of concussive force, right? If you have all the air trapped in there and you slam
it. How do you know that, Aaron? Are you telling us something, a fact, or is this not even entitled?
A little not even entitled, but somewhere back in my brain, I remember reading some stuff.
Yeah, don't say airflow. Back in my brain, I read something, so listen to me.
No, I think you have to think about airflow with concussive force. And when air is trapped.
Do you really think about airflow? I think this is fake news. When you say things like somewhere in the back of my head, I remember something, it presented as fact. You can't do that.
Airflow.
You're a member of the media now. You can't just say things that.
I definitely can.
You just did. Hey, look at number. Hey, let's go back to number one, Aaron. Do you see number one? The Wanderer, does it have the ear thing?
No, it doesn't. That's my point.
Oh, your point is not having air coverage is better.
Then not having air coverage allows the air just to like, whoosh, so like it compresses and like there's place for stuff to go. Or if you had water in the helmet, for example, if there's water in the water is trapped in there and it's compressing down, it's going to put more force on your head.
What we're seeing is the half cut is better than the full cut. So that would corroborate your.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then the shred ready with the face mask is even worse because it's even got.
More trapping stuff. Now the NRS one is different because you get the full cut versus the side cut.
But the side cut's got those ear pads on it. I would be curious if they did it without the ear pads on it.
Oh, I guess not. Yeah, interesting. And then the NRS Havoc livery. Havoc livery. How do you pronounce
that? Is that the super cheap one?
It's pretty cheap, yeah. It's $50.
The shred ready.
And Shred Ready, the $133 helmet, does worse than the NRS $50 helmet.
I'm going to say the Shred Ready never looked like a good helmet to me when people would wear them. I was just like, Shred Ready's never looked like they did much. And this is...
Well, I mean, they do pretty well up here, Aaron.
Oh, no. Those little ones. The little stupid ones.
Oh, the dinky ones. The cool guy ones.
Yeah. The cool guy ones.
So the Ion. I mean, they still do a good job. They still like better than nothing.
They're 2 stars out of 5.
Then the T-Dub and the Shaggy. Oh, the Shaggy Man. That's a bro helmet if I've ever seen one. And then the Shred Ready Super Scrappy, the Sesh.
Wow, 1 star.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the Strutter. The WRSI.
Is the worst.
I thought those were supposed to be good. They're supposed
first
to be
of
better.
All, this is my favorite helmet.
I know that. That's exactly.
I wear this helmet a lot.
It looks like you should basically not even wear the helmet.
That's not true. I mean, first of all, a 1-star rating is still better than no helmet. Actually, I flipped my kayak the other day, hit a rock in my head with this helmet on, and it was fine. Where it probably would have been a bummer if I didn't have a helmet.
Those solid bills make me uncomfortable. I can see you put a lot of force on your neck. There's this opportunity.
No, if you hit a rock, I've always liked them because if you go face to a rock, the solid bill is going to stop it. It's sort of like a face mask. That's been my thinking.
Have you ever hit something with the bill of it?
No. That's good. I haven't hit anything face first. That's a good thing. So anyway, it's 1 star. It's kind of like that life jacket I was talking about the other day, that super minimal float one. It looks cool. If I'm like doing class 2, 3 play boating, I don't know.
Do you consider yourself a role model, Zach?
I don't know. Sometimes. Now,
when you want to be.
I feel like I am when I'm at work or when I'm doing something like a leadership role. If I'm just playboating class 2 or 3, no, I want to have fun. I don't want to be a role model then. I want to look cool.
But the problem is, Zach, everyone knows you now. So since you're so famous.
Not everybody knows me, Aaron. I've been places where people don't know me. So
when you go to Footy, I'm sure people talk to you all the time now. Let's go.
Not all the time, but
do they read the ProTech helmet?
It's not on here. Anyway, let's move on. Oh. So remember WRSI was started because didn't somebody hit their head?
They said the ProTech weren't very good. So that's why they started WRSI. Yeah, because the ProTech were supposedly so bad.
which I thought Protex, I've hit my head on Protex with Protex a lot. But anyway, it's WRSI stands for Whitewater Research Safety Institute. And their whole thing was, we're going to make the best helmets ever. And there turns out they're 18, 19, 20, 21. And it's good marketing. I mean, they're convincing you they're better because they have a cool name. But you know, NRS bought WRSI?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So maybe that, maybe, I don't know. I mean, which is interesting.
The NRS ones scored way better. Yeah.
Pretty well. But these NRS ones look dorky, where these WRSI ones look like semi cool. That they have the cool guy look.
But you know, I'm going to say there's less venting on them.
So?
The venting, I think, helps with that concussive force measurement thing.
See, again, don't. Thank you for putting "I think" in there, because sometimes I'm looking for vents.
Look at the NRS ones up there have way more vents.
Yeah, but look at the suit protections. Don't the best ones? Oh, there's some. You know what? There's some seat at the top of the Wanderer. There's little vents there.
And there's on the front too. There's vents on the front.
There's not vents in the front.
That's a vent, right?
On the Wanderer, that's not a vent. On the Rocker, that is a vent.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I wonder if I have one here. Oh, yeah, I have one here. Hold on. I get it.
Do you have the Rocker?
Okay,
is that
so
the Rocker or the regular? Or
this the is the Rocker. And so I may make myself big here so you can see.
So that's the junky one.
No, this is the Rocker. This is the expensive one.
No, but that's the junky one we're learning now.
It's not junky. It's one star. It's better than almost everything.
It's not as good as the Wanderer, though.
It's not as good as the Wanderer. There's holes here, but I wouldn't call them vents because it goes right. There's foam right behind it. Hmm. There's no. I mean, this is still a really good helmet, Aaron. But it is expensive for how safe it is. But I don't see. There's no vents on this at all.
There's no venting on it. Yeah, that's interesting. No.
Yeah. Whereas. This one, let me go back to this view. Let's go back to that page. The Wanderer, those holes in the middle are not vents. They're little rubberized things. I've seen that one before. But it looks like, do you see like kind of in the head, that does look like vents.
Yeah. I told.
Oh, and sweet protection. Let's look it up for a better. I kind of want to get one of these now. Whoa. Is that? Oh, that's for biking. Oh, man.
Hold on. It might have been with, that might have been with ski helmets when I heard about that, Zach, when I was teaching skiing, where they talked about the concussive force and the airflow. It might have been ski helmets.
All right, I'm on this page. Do you see, does it look like little vents on the top, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right there, that. These, so you think these vents right here?
I don't know if they have vents or not. Now I'm just saying, like, it's interesting. It's like,
no, it looks like there's vents. So you're putting two and two together and saying having vents helps the air escape for concussive force.
It might. I see that.
Well, like, before hesitant. you were saying it did. So it's nice.
I remember reading about it. You know, and at one point, maybe it wasn't when I was teaching skiing. I just remember like it was weird. I was like, oh, I never thought about the air. Air needs a place to go. When you smash the helmet in, you want the air to be able to release easily out of there. You don't want to.
Direct ventilation. I mean, right there it says direct. Can you see that? Those are definitely. So this one, these have ventilation.
Yeah.
The Wanderer 2 is an updated version at a lower price. It has all of the renowned features and offers dependability and durability for all around river use. It was first introduced in 2008, has been updated several times since, and is the latest edition. Pretty cool.
How did they make it cheaper than the Wanderer? Why is it cheaper?
I don't know. I mean, we know from our ratings that it's not quite as safe, but it's still number two.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, number one, the Wanderer is just a tiny bit better. Okay, let's keep going down the list. So we got down to Shred Readies. We got down to my favorite Strutter. Ah, it's disappointing. I love that helmet.
The WRSI.
WRSI didn't do well on the Gath. The WRSI does, it really is not.
The bowl phase seem to fairly consistently do worse, which is interesting.
Yep.
Yeah. And the shred and the, ready outfitter.
Yep. Shred ready live.
See, but they don't have. I would love to have those old Protex we used to all use and compare those and where that would line up with all this stuff.
I'd be interested in that for sure.
Yeah. Like just even pull out a junky old Protec helmet and be like, all right, let's see what how
that goes. I would guess it doesn't do well. I mean, it does have does go over the ears, although it has nice holes over the ears.
Yeah.
Like, no, Dougie still has his. Makes me want to go back to just getting a good enough helmet that I really like. That one's expensive and highly rated. Why would it make you want to go back to getting one that's good enough?
Well, you've seen like the super expensive ones aren't actually better.
They are better.
No, they're not. The Wanderer is better than the Rocker.
But the Rocker is better than everything else.
Yeah, but the Wanderer is cheaper, a lot cheaper.
Then get the Wanderer then.
Yeah.
But the Rocker is super expensive. It's still better than everything else except for the Wanderer. So like, I don't know. That kind of looks cool and it's comfortable for me. Yeah, I mean, I do think this, and let me just think, Aaron, having it look cool and be comfortable is a factor because you're more likely to wear it.
Yeah, comfort is big. And honestly, I think my biggest thing is how well you can swim in it, how stable it is on your head. And that's one of the things I like about the Sweet helmets in general is I find they really sit on people's heads well. I've never seen them flopping in front of their face, going over their eyes. Like some of the stuff farther down, like the Shred Readies and some of the other stuff, I see more problems with those ones moving around that are more they don't sit quite as tight on the head. So that's one of my big roads. And like we talked about, I think there's a difference between kayaking and rafting. I'm way more worried about concussions kayaking than I am rafting and just taking those hits to the head. Rafting, I'm more worried if I fall out, is it going to cover my face? Am I going to be able to swim with it? Is it going to stay on well and just protect me from those stupid glancing blows?
Yeah.
You know, like that. Yeah.
I mean, but if you're rafting with the oar frame and you take that mm-hmm, gear, mm-hmm. the oar frame to the head or the oar to the head, that's a factor for sure. I mean, I think for rowing a big gear boat, you get hit in the head with stuff if you flip or the oar to the head is a serious thing.
But I think too, the thing of it is, the Wanderer is just such a great option. It's the best one. It's not bad expensive. And you're like, and it's going to protect you well. You swim well in it. It's a great helmet.
I mean, the Wanderer 2 for $130 seems like the way to go. It's just barely worse than the Wanderer, right? It comes in cool colors. $130, it's cheaper than a lot of these helmets on here that are like this Shred Ready Shaggy and the Shred Ready T-Dub. But of course, if you want to look like a bro, it's hard to look like a bro with the Wanderer. That's for sure.
I mean, it's a couple of those NRS ones seem pretty good too.
They look dorky though.
What's number 6?
The Shred Ready Half Cut. That's just like their classic helmet. I had some of these. I think it's this one for a kayak school, and they all kind of fell apart.
Hmm.
I ended up not liking them.
That's the other thing, too. The longevity of it, how will they hold up?
Yep. All right. The statistical score, like 0.25, is supposed to reference how many concussions the average paddler would get. Interesting. Is that true? We didn't read that hard into this article. We should know that. I mean, how many concussions have you had, Aaron?
Playing rafting?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You had one?
The closest I remember is I got thrown into a pin on a frame with I had my helmet on, luckily. I was wearing an old Protec helmet. I was like, glad I had my helmet on.
Did you get a concussion?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think
it rang my bell pretty good, though. But I think we're much more aware of concussions now than we were 20 years ago when that happened, or almost 30 years ago when that happened. Yeah.
What's up, Aaron? I like my solid WRS helmet because I feel like it keeps my head drier and warmer in winter paddling.
And I agree, Chad. I do like the ones without vents on it for that reason. But I think also this guy I taught some swift park courses with, he talked about venting. He talked about the venting too in this course. This guy at Lake Alchemy College, Scott. he talked about the venting helping with concussion.
I mean, this one, this one would keep your hair dry the same, but yeah. this is the expensive one, the rocker.
It is. I kind of like that. I mean, you're not getting all your hair is not getting you on cold days. It's nice.
Any thoughts on the old Grateful Dead helmets? They're still available. Really? Wow. Well, Jeff from Tumalo Creek Kayak and Canoe and Bend wants to resurrect the brand. I wore a Grateful Dead helmet for a long time. Do you remember that white one I had, the sparkles, Aaron?
Yep.
I wore one for a long, long time. I don't think the Grateful Heads guides, and I could be wrong here, but I don't think they were taking a scientific approach to helmets. I think they were just making cool looking helmets.
Well, I still have one that I like and I use, and it's got, but it's the one with the motorcycle one with more coverage all the way down low, and it's giving really good coverage. So, and that's why I got it. And I have a bigger head, and it's hard to find helmets that fit my head. So, but you know, like, is it going to withstand the same type of forces as these? I don't know. I mean, fiberglass is also, those helmets are also designed to break on impact in a way, and that will, whatever, reduce some of the force, right? It takes some of the force in the breaking of it, so you're not getting as much.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I don't know. I mean, I think sweep helmets are so good. In my opinion, they're so good. They're so well made. I just can't see how you can make a better helmet. It won't be better safety-wise. It might look – I mean, the Grateful Head helmets look cool. They have, like, cool designs, and they make you look cool. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I had one for a long time. I loved it. Protech with the Velcro visor for the Ultimate Bro. That's freshy.
That's why I ran that. Yeah, that was that. We need to bring that look back. Yeah.
I wonder if I could find a photo of Dougie Fresh kayaking.
That'd be great.
With him wearing his helmet. I'm gonna search Google.
So what's the conclusion on this? So the shred readies are in.
Yeah, I mean, we already knew that. The conclusion, here's the conclusion. The best bang for your buck is the Sweep Protection Wanderer. That's just like obviously the best bang for your buck. These other sweep protections are sweet. The shred readies and NRS are probably better than WRSI as in general. The Strutter, which we all thought, I mean, I always thought was a great helmet, is not as great as I thought. And
really? Wait, you really thought that was a great helmet?
Yeah. Because it's made by Sweet.
You always looked at that. That's a cool person. It has horrible coverage. It barely covers your the back of your head. It's going to catch water and get pulled up, so you smash your face. Like, it just seems like a bad idea.
Okay, anyway,
and you shouldn't wear a paddle cap anything, right? Because you can get thrown into some of the back of someone else and just nail them with it.
You don't have to rub it all in, Aaron. I'm admitting it's not as good. Just accept it. They're not as good.
It's fine if you wear it backwards, right? Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
No. Yeah. You're not going to hurt somebody with that. I mean, you could never. I don't even know. So that's the moral of the story is these sweep protections look way better. Everything else is in the middle. WRSI is at the bottom.
WRSI, which claimed to be this great company, it's interesting. Yeah.
Have you seen these helmets? The cowboy. I bet these test really well.
I haven't seen them.
Yep. The cowboy hat helmets. Fun colors is an upcharge. We should see if they could test these. Ooh, red, white, and blue. Cool strap. Oh, tiger strap, rainbow trout straps.
Wow.
What do you think?
Man, that looks pretty neat. Pretty amazing. Yeah.
Cowboy hat helmets. Lots of options. Here we go. See, and you can look cool. That looks pretty cool, huh? This guy's got this, looks like a shred ready. As we learned, is medium safe. That cowboy hat, though, looks pretty rad.
I wonder what happens when you hit the side of it.
It probably, look at that. Extreme Expeditions. Well, Aaron, I think we did another show.
I'm kind of a fan of those cowboy hat helmets.
For safety or for looks?
For sun protection.
That's why I like the Strutter. It has like a little visor built in for sun protection.
Yeah, you can get the cool Velcro ones and it's way safer.
Wait, so that's the same thing you can say about your cowboy hat helmet. And the Velcro ones are not cool. The Velcro does not look cool.
No, the cowboy gives you coverage all the way around the sides, though.
Oh, got it. Got it.
Yeah.
Do you think that cowboy one offers protection?
Minimal.
Yeah, better than nothing for sure, right?
I mean, there's certain places where I've been required to wear a helmet where I didn't feel like it was really necessary. I might use it in one of those situations.
Got it.
Where I want the sun coverage.
Cool.
Yeah. But I mean, in general, I don't really mind wearing helmets when I'm on the river.
It depends on the helmet. If I had to wear an uncomfortable helmet, I would mind. But if I could wear my Strutter, I'm fine.
Well, it's not even really a helmet, as we've learned today.
Aaron, it's a helmet. It is a helmet. It doesn't have it gets one star, but that's compared to
one star out of five, dude. That is not good.
It is a helmet.
Like, how many of them get zero stars?
There's no such thing as zero stars. Oh, the Gaff.
Gets zero stars.
It doesn't get zero stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the brim's like, maybe it is. Maybe it's like a crumple zone. All right, I got a couple announcements, and we'll shut this show down. Does that sound all right? Okay. Great. First of all, I just want to remind everybody about a contest. We're pretty excited about it. Go to whitewaterguidebook.com to find all the rules. We'll do our best to update them as we go. Aaron and I are both leaving for the Grand Canyon for different trips, and so the show won't be happening for like 3 or 4 weeks. So we're gonna say goodbye for a few weeks. And I want to thank everybody for watching and subscribing and do all the things. It's we really enjoy this show, and it's the end of the summer, and it seems like we're gonna take a break, but we're gonna jump back into this contest hard when we get back from the Grand Canyon. Right, Aaron? All right, we'll shut this one down.
If you haven't hit that like button, please hit the like button. Of course, subscribe and ring that bell so you get notified anytime Zach posts anything new online. How many viewers are we up to now, Zach?
We're almost to 9,000. Oh, wait, 9,000? 8,000. We're almost to 8,000.
What?
Well, now we lost some because you swore.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Actually, I'll look. No, we have I'll tell you right now. We have 8,730 subscribers. So we almost have 9,000. I bet you when we get back from the Grand Canyon, we'll have almost 9,000.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Well, great job, Zach. And you guys, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for all your comments, questions. Yeah, have fun on the Grand Canyon, Zach.
Yeah, you too. Watch out for Lava Falls.
Oh, we'll do. Thanks.
When we're done with the show, I'm going to give you some hints and tricks on how to be a...
Oh, that'd be great. I'll get a paper and pen ready.
Do you want to know what the best one is?